sunlight the whole time, all the way to the moon, are yet surrounded by blackness. That's almost a paradox, but it's truth. I can remember standing on the surface, moon in sunlight, looking back at the Earth surrounded by the blackest blackness you can conceive in your mind, the three-dimensional blackness without a beginning and without end. It's not darkness, but blackness. And the Earth, with all its beauty and all its splendor, lives three-dimensionally within this blackness, and that's what's so unique. I don't like the whole 3 days to the moon. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, you go into the shadow. You go into darkness. I want to make sure that you understand the difference between blackness and darkness. Blackness is the absence of light, but darkness is like being in a shadow, and we're going blissfully through space. We never did see the moon. We never could see it as we approached it. And we went into the shadow and said, "Ooh, golly, we got to be close. Must be a moon out there somewhere, because what else is going to make that shadow? You're close to something." We fired our, we went around behind the moon and fired our engine. Boy, as soon as we fired it, man, we came into sunlight. We were 60 miles above the surface of the moon, which is just, I mean, that's just like, wow. It's just like a big flashing spotlight in front of you, and there's the moon. There's another, you know, we traveled across nothing for 3 days, and then all of a sudden, right below you, almost you can feel like you can touch the top of the mountains with your hands. You got this other asteroid, planet, moon, whatever, but here we are, a long way from home, and that's unrealistic. We're really there. We're like three monkeys in a cage.
It was amazing as I traveled through space, but when I got on the moon, I didn't feel that at all. I felt at home there, even though the Earth was a long ways away. We could see it directly above, about the size of a marble, and realize that we're there, but by the grace of God, I felt like I was at the end of a thin cord that could be cut at any time. It was precarious, but yet I felt comfortable. I felt something other than just what we can visually sense. A spiritual presence was there. Perhaps it was because so many people on the Earth were focusing their attention. They were maybe sending signals to us somehow. But I sensed, I guess in a way, much like maybe the first man on the Earth would have sensed, like Adam, perhaps Eve. As they were standing on the Earth and they realized they were all alone. There was no one else on the Earth. As if they had that special communication. And I guess it was similar to the feeling I had. I realized that they, Scott and I, were the only two on this vast planet, another world. We were the only two there. We felt an unseen love. We were not alone.
So, the shadow of the moon and the moon is between you and the sun. That you see stars that are more brilliant than anything you've ever seen on the clearest nights here on Earth. And then pass into the lunar sunrise over the lunar surface, and it must be an awe-inspiring sight. I can't wait to see it myself.
Then when you're in Earth orbit, before you actually head out to the moon, and there's a drastic change. I've always said we not only left this Earth physically, but we left spiritually and philosophically as well, because once you head out to the moon, that horizon closes in around and upon itself and describes something very strange and yet something very, very familiar. When you're in Earth orbit, you fly over a coastline, a river, a city, and you feel like you're even your own hometown. But when you accelerate to 25,000 miles and head out to the moon and you begin to look across oceans and continents with a single glance, when you can begin to, instead of flying through a sunrise and a sunset every 90 minutes, 16 of them, every 24-hour day as you're in Earth orbit, you begin to literally look not just across distance, but across time on the way to the moon, because you can watch the sun rise on one continent and know it's setting on another off the same.
There's a crucial difference.
That's a spiritual, philosophical difference of going to the moon.
It's the difference between space flight and space travel. I mean, like, once you leave, once you burn your bad engine and you head out, you're really going somewhere else. That's where you're leaving.
Going, you're truly an explorer. You're truly one. I, even having flown Gemini 9, my experiences on that spacewalk, which were something I'll never forget. It took Apollo 10 and then Apollo 17 for me to realize what a real space voyage was when we're headed out to the moon, going someplace that no man has ever been before. And here's the fact is,
you have to literally just pinch yourself and ask yourself the question silently, do you really know where you are at this point in time and space and in reality and in existence? When you look out the window and you're looking back at the most beautiful star in the heavens, the most beautiful because it's the one we understand and we know it's we're home, it's humanity, it's people, family, love, life. And besides that, it is beautiful. You can see from pole to pole and across oceans and continents. And you can watch it turn and there's no strings holding it up. And it's moving in a blackness that is almost beyond conception.
The light shines through the blackness of space. It's black. But I was in sunlight, and I was able to look at this blackness. I mean, what are you looking at? Call it the universe, but it's the infinity of space and the infinity of time. I'm looking at something called space that had no end, and at time that has no meaning. You can really focus on it, because you've got this planet out there, this star called Earth, which itself is in its blackness, but it is lit up, because the sunlight strikes on an object, strikes on something called Earth. And it's not a hostile blackness. Maybe it's not hostile because of the beauty of the earth that sort of gives it life. Everything that I know, my family, my possessions, my friends, my country, is all down there on that little thing. And it's so insignificant. It's this great big vast
thing. We don't yet know how powerful, and we may not know how important, for a couple of generations yet to go. We left a cradle of civilization, in essence. We've gone where people have only dreamed about going for eons and eons of years. And now that we've done it, we don't know what to do with it, nor what to make of it. We don't know the significance of having lived on the moon and what it means to future generations yet. And it's going to take some time before we do.
You just had to steal time now, didn't you? You said to stop chipping at a rock and figure out that bring it back a little bit of some kind of thought, feeling, was as important as bringing another chunk of rock back.
And not being a machine, but being a human being, you have to stop and say, do you know where you are, what you're looking at, and try and take in those few moments of privacy you have, everything there is to take in that moment.
And you've got 5 minutes here.
And all of a sudden, you've got to get to work.
Okay, this is standing out here in the wonders of the unknown in Hadley. I realize there's a fundamental truth to our nature. Man must explore.
I felt very welcome. You know, the moon's been waiting for us for thousands of years. Millions of years. Unless someone else has already been there before us at some time. Although we didn't see any of it. Felt like I was the only one there, but not an alien. Not an alien in terms of invading someone else's domain. I didn't find it more hostile, or I found it very majestically beautiful. Bland in color, but majestically beautiful.
Having gotten away from the spacecraft, I was able to really realize what this place was like that we had landed in. I had tried to anticipate what it would be like for many years, but it was obvious that there was no way one could have anticipated what it would be like to stand in the valley of Taurus Mitchell, a place deeper than the Grand Canyon, and equally as spectacular, see this brilliantly illuminated landscape with a brighter sun than anyone had ever stood in before, with a blacker than black sky. And then to top the whole scene off in this blacker than black sky was a beautiful, brilliantly illuminated blue marble that we call the Earth. But that revolution is now in space, as much as on Earth. Man has showed that as a species, mankind was willing to commit itself to living in environments that were completely different than those which species evolved. Put a shield of life around ourselves in order to protect the life within. But the willingness to go out there is there. We've shown that. The curve of human evolution has been bent.
Of them who has been in orbit around the Earth could have a chance to look back from a quarter million miles away. I think their perspective would certainly not only be changed, but enhanced a tremendous amount. So there's a lot of people who have seen the Earth, but who haven't seen the Earth. And those people who went to the moon, I think, are the fortunate few to have seen it in its true perspective. And there's no question in my mind, but when that first Earthrise picture, the Earth coming over the lunar horizon, that was seen in the pictures that were taken on Apollo 8, has changed the way the world looks at itself. I mean, for the first time, we've seen the Earth rising over the horizon of another planet.
So, floating traveler from another planet, would I land on the blue or the brown part of the Earth? Okay, world, hold on to your head. I'm going to turn you upside down.
You're up there, and you see one world. It's been described as a jewel, as sensitive and tender as a Christmas tree ornament, and it is delicate. I go back in a minute, tomorrow morning, if I had an opportunity. It was overpoweringly beautiful, and it is three-dimensional, surrounded by this infinite blackness, and you don't see the artificial barriers that we place upon ourselves. You don't see the language differences and the color differences and the cultural and ethnic differences that are so evident and prominent on its Earth, anywhere in its Earth. You just see the barriers that were created by the Creator who established the Earth. Yeah, I'm one of those who believes very strongly there's too much purpose, too much logic, that the Earth is too beautiful to have happened by accident. That is not a religious statement. That's a spiritual statement that says, hey, there must be a Creator of the small part of the universe that I was privileged to see because it's just too beautiful to have happened by accident. And if I could take everybody in this world and sit them next to me on a swing on God's front porch, where I found myself on more than one occasion, I think we would all perhaps have a different perspective of ourselves. Now, I don't know that that would change a great deal down here on Earth, but it would sure give us all something to think about. It comes to you in spades when you're out there that far and looking back. There's no question. It's a reaffirmation of something I probably believed all my life and never gave much thought to it and never had much evidence of it. Now I have evidence. I have seen it.
See, that's not the sort of thing you expect to hear from a Navy fighter pilot. And several of your colleagues would speak like that. It had a spiritual dimension for them, too.
But just because you're a fighter pilot, just because you want to do something exciting, adventurous, as some people say, just because you're a painkiller. I mean, will you believe in defending your country? As a kid, I had a dream of flying airplanes off aircraft carriers, and I had no idea what that was going to lead to. But just because that's what you want to become or that's what you want to do, and people look at that as a little exotic, a little adventurous, a little risk-taking, doesn't mean that you can't have values and feelings and thoughts. You know, we've never had a ticker tape parade for a robot, okay? You know, you can send a camera to the moon or to Mars, and that's fine. But the questions people ask are questions that cannot be answered by computers or machines, because they're questions that have to do with feelings and thoughts and sensitivity and intelligence and fear and anticipation. And only a human being can answer those questions. And we all have those sensitivities, whether you're a fighter pilot or a scientist or a geologist or a poet or an artist or a writer. Thrust into a situation like we were thrust into going to the moon or on the moon, we all might say it differently, but we would all express it from, I think, from the only thing we can express it from is that's from the heart. And that's what's coming out now in Albin's paintings and in some of our writings.
Looking back at your pastime, I never really got started.
It's too big of an experience not to share with people. Another stimulus to me writing the book came a few years ago when a very good friend of mine, it's just a conversation like we're having right now, said, Gene, you've got to understand, you may think you're no different than anybody else, and you still may put your pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else, but the fact of life is you are different. You're one of 12 human beings who walked on the surface of the moon. You've done what people have only either dreamed about doing or a lot of people thought was impossible. And I took that very seriously, and I accept the fact I can't live in the past, and I don't live in the past. But, you know, I'm sure when Christopher Columbus came back from that voyage, there are not many people in the world who really understood the significance, including probably Columbus himself, of what he had done. And it took us hundreds of years to realize the importance of that voyage he took across the ocean. It still may be another 50 or 100 years before we truly, as mankind, as a civilization, truly understand the significance of what we did back in the 60s and 70s.
Everything that I know, my family, my possessions, my friends, my country, is all down there on that little thing. And it's so insignificant with this great big vast space.
I mean, it'd be very easy to feel alienated. You are an alien. You're an extraterrestrial.
You are. You're captured by another planet. You are no longer a member of the human race. You don't gravity here on Earth. You're not breathing Earth's air. You're not subject to Earth gravity. You are an alien on another world. You have divorced yourself from what you can relate to as your own human existence. You've seen it happen before, but literally when you could put something up there no bigger than the palm of your hand and cover up the Earth, you just break your link to reality. You just break it. It doesn't exist anymore. When you go to the moon, it's where one world ends and another begins. And that is so true because you are living another existence. Time has no meaning or it takes on a new meaning. You know, here, sun comes up, we eat breakfast and go to work. The sun goes down, we read the newspaper and go to bed. But on the moon, time takes on a totally new meaning. You know, a second goes by, yes, but when you can look back at the world and see the sun set on one continent and rise on another, you're looking through the time and the lives of people. As we understand it, as we can relate to them. But on the moon, what time do you want it to be? I'll make it whatever time you want it to be. Time goes in minutes and hours, but, you know, the sunrise on the moon is... It comes, and 14 days later, the sun sets. If you want to sort of set your biological time clock to that, if you're there long enough, I guess you could. But I look at this desolate satellite of ours that we've chosen to call the moon, a place where we have now been. It's no longer Jules Verne. It's no longer science fiction. It's part of our lives. It forevermore tells future generations what they can do if they're willing to dream and then commit themselves to making their dreams come true. It doesn't happen every day, and it hasn't happened since. And it's not going to happen again for a decade or more. Hopefully not a generation, but it's not going to happen for a while. And someday, after we see pictures like this on Mars, that our great-great-grandkids are going to put the entire picture together, where it started, how we got there, what it led to, and why we did it. Al, if you hadn't committed yourself to so many years of effort to talking to people like me and all my colleagues to get our feelings while they were somewhat fresh in our minds, and put all this together in one place, my kids, as well as my grandchildren, all those who follow, never would have had any understanding of what it was like and how it happened or what happened. And I've always said it's important for those who follow to know not just what we did, but why we did it and what it took to do that. And I think for all mankind, you brought that out so people can relate to and understand in a very humanistic sense.
Well, I thank you for that.
Here we're only 25, 30 years after those steps on the moon. And we're beginning to better understand. People are getting more excited, more interested. Why did we quit? Why didn't we go on? When are we going back? These are the questions I hear today. The sad part about it is that here we find ourselves at the turn into the 21st century, the millennium, and we no longer are exploring space. We had the greatest start in the world up the ladder to the moon. We're exploiting space, yes, but we're not exploring space, which is going to come back to haunt us as a spacefaring nation if we don't, if we don't decide that learning something about the great unknown that surrounds us is as important as the commercial or scientific values that can make our life better here on Earth. I know, as a young kid out there with the courage and the willpower to take us back out there where we belong to explore, and maybe that's the responsibility I have to be the disciple to encourage other people to pick up from where I left off. I wanted to put a footnote on my book saying, "The Last Man on the Moon, Parent, for now."
As time goes on, I truly do believe that you are able to pull out of the subconscious a great many things that you absorbed in those moments while you were there looking back at the earth. And I can almost transform my body, certainly my mind, through time and space instantaneously to that spot on the moon.
I know where I am when I look at the moon. It's not just some abstract, romantic idea. It's something very real.
Stars are my home.
Different. It's become man's first outpost, our first footstep in space, where man was able to look back at the Earth and see the Earth and see himself in a different perspective.